This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Ailette Waldman was at the end of her rope. She'd struggled with wildly swinging moods for years and had tried everything to find a fix, from psychiatrists, therapists, SSRI medications like Prozac, sleep aids like Lunesta, and a sampling from the world of alternative therapies available in the Bay Area of California.
So she decided to try something different. She heard about how microdoses of the hallucinogenic drug LSD might help people like her. And she writes about that experience in the new memoir, A Real Good Day, How Microdosing Made a Mega Difference in My Mood, My Marriage, and My Life. Ailette Waldman joins us now. Ailette, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, you write about how you're what your kids call totally basic. You say you wear yoga pants all day. You post pictures of your desserts online. And then plus...
Yes, I do. And of my dog. I have a very dog puppy-heavy Instagram feed.
You taught law, too, at UC Berkeley. So maybe you don't seem like the most likely person to experiment with microdoses of LSD. How did you decide this was something that you wanted to try?
Well, you know, but in my previous life, before I was a writer, I was a law professor, and I was also a criminal defense attorney, and I worked a lot on issues of drug policy reform. So I knew a lot about drug policy reform from a criminal justice perspective, and I had been suffering for many years from a mood disorder that was actually very well managed until sort of a while before this happened. My mood disorder is a version of PMS called premenstrual dysphoric disorder. It's basically PMS on steroids. And the medication regimen was very clear-cut and very effective. It involved using antidepressants for 1 week a month. But when I no longer was able to predict my cycle with any accuracy, I kind of fell off the rails, and I became more and more and more depressed. And none of the traditional medications prescribed to my psychopharmacologist were working. None of the therapeutic modalities were working. And eventually I found myself suicidal. And I have a very large library of drug policy-related books. And I noticed on my shelf a book that I had not really looked at before. I don't even know if I bought it or if it arrived at my house. But it was a book on psychedelic drugs. I had very little experience with psychedelic drugs. I actually knew much less about them than I knew about other drugs from my work when I had been writing briefs on behalf of the American Public Health Association and the AMA. I was writing about stimulant drugs like cocaine. I just really didn't know very much about psychedelics at all. And there was this book, and I was leafing through it, and it had a chapter about microdosing. And I then went online and looked at some videos of the author giving a lecture where he described that the experience of microdosing psychedelics is not, you don't trip, you don't hallucinate, you don't have any perceptual differences. What he said was that at the end of the day, people who microdosed looked back on their day and they said, huh, that was a really good day.
And this is Dr. James Fadiman who introduced this idea.
He's not the first person to come up with the idea, but he's definitely the person who popularized it. And he's now collecting, anecdotal reports of individuals who've microdosed. And when I heard Dr. Fadiman say that, I mean, I actually rewound it and played it a number of times on my computer because it had been so long since I'd had a good day. The very idea of a good day was almost foreign to me at that point. I was really kind of anhedonic. You know, I had not experienced any kind of joy or pleasure in my life in a long time. And I reached out to Dr. Fadiman, and he was very generous and spoke to me and gave me a lot of information about microdosing and about, the risks and rewards and relative safety. And I finally decided that, I was desperate enough to give it a shot.
And so tell us what we mean by microdosing. I think that, that's not something that is in the popular vernacular yet. What does it mean?
So a microdose is a small dose of a drug, and you can microdose with any drug, legal or illegal. It's a dose that's so small that you don't experience any perceptual effects, but it's large enough that you experience some kind of metabolic effects. So in the case of microdosing LSD, a typical dose that someone would take to, say, trip, you know, like if you're at a Grateful Dead show, for example, might be between 100 and 200 micrograms, not milligrams, micrograms. So a typical dose for someone who's on, who wants to microdose is 10 micrograms, between 5 and 10% of a typical dose. For if you want to hallucinate. And it's very small. Like if I had just, if I said to you, hey, I slipped some a microdose of LSD into your coffee right now, you wouldn't notice any effects. You might, at the end of the day, you might think, wow, that was a really good pledge drive day. That worked out really well.
So this was not something that was without hurdles. For instance, how do you procure
a
little bottle or some sort of microdosable version
hurdle.
Of LSD? So what did you do?
Especially if you're neurotic and, you know, and the kind of person who, like, can't get the wrong change at the grocery store without returning it and who, you know, has a heart attack every time she gets a parking ticket. Yeah, it was not without hurdles, let's say. Well, I when I decided to do it, I didn't know any, I mean, not only did I didn't know any drug dealers, I didn't know anybody who was using LSD. I live in Berkeley, California. I thought it would be easy to get it. I thought that, you know, this is like psychedelic birthplace. I thought I was going to go out in the streets and orange sunshine was going to rain down on my head. But in fact, the Venn diagram of people like me, you know, PTA mothers and not literary novelists, and the sort of the portion of that Venn diagram that's LSD users, it doesn't even, it's not a Venn diagram. It is just two circles next to each other, not touching. So I couldn't find any LSD anywhere. And I, at first, you know, Fadiman says in his book, like, be discreet when you're looking
for
it.
Well, it's illegal.
I tried discretion. Yeah, it's illegal. Discretion, I couldn't be discreet. Nobody, I kept sort of, nobody had any LSD. And finally, I just started asking literally everybody I knew. Most people thought I was crazy and were like, no, of course not. I don't have any acid. But one guy said to me, I have heard about this microdosing thing, and I heard about, a friend was telling me about this professor, I don't know where, somewhere in the Bay Area, who's very, very old, who's been microdosing for decades, and maybe he has some extra. You know, the guy's not going to live much longer. I mean, he's like in his 90s. Maybe he has some that he could send you. And I said to him, that is just a stupid story. That is not a real thing. That story is just an urban legend. There is no professor who's been microdosing for decades who has extra LSD for me. So I just continued my fruitless search for illegal drugs until one day I went out to my mailbox, and amidst the sort of Bed Bath & Beyond and Victoria's Secret circulars and, I don't know, my PG&E bill, there was this little brown paper package covered in what I have to say were very old stamps, like stamps from the 80s and 90s. And the return address read Lewis Carroll. And when I opened it up, there was a tiny little cobalt blue bottle in it with instructions for use.
Wow, so that was it. You had your little bottle.
Yes, that was my little bottle. Now, I'm not an idiot. I don't just drink things that show up in my mail, even if they are, you know, even if they do have the return address.
Right, you tested this first. I couldn't believe you got a test from Amazon. That's how easy it was.
That's how easy it is to get an LSD test. I ordered a test from Amazon. It came Amazon Prime. I tested the LSD. I was very careful. You know, I'm a big, I have four children ranging in age from 13 to 22, and I have a very specific approach to drugs with my kids. My rule is no dying on my watch. So I have kind of a harm reduction approach to drugs with them. We give them a tremendous amount of information. We trust them to make good decisions, but we also do things like, you know, provide drug testing kits so that in the event that someone decides they're going to use a drug like MDMA, they first test their drugs, because there have been a series of fatalities and near fatalities of kids who thought they were using ecstasy or Molly, and what they turned out to be, they bought pills that were something else entirely, something far more toxic. So, you know, I was familiar with this concept of testing one's drugs, so I just decided to do it myself. And I just Googled, where do you buy an LSD testing kit? And there in my Google results was Amazon.com, Prime shipping.
And Ayala, we got to fast forward a little bit here because we don't have enough time. This is a great story that you're telling, but I want to get to the day you took it and what happened. This is something you did for a month, and
right.
you documented along the way. How did you feel? How did your body feel? What was your sense of health and wellness? But tell us about that first day. Was it a really good day?
So the thing to know is that the day before I was literally standing in front of my medicine cabinet, assessing what was in it and how useful the thing, the medicines in my medicine cabinet would be for killing myself. I was suicidal. I was Googling the effects of suicide on children. It was a very bad time. And the day that I took the LSD, the next day, at first I noticed nothing. And then I sat down and got to work. I was sitting at my kitchen table, and I looked out my window, and my dogwood tree was in bloom. And I thought, oh, look, the dogwood tree is in bloom. It's so pretty. It wasn't like the blossoms weren't, you know, multicolored, and I wasn't hallucinating. It was just that I was able to notice the beauty for the first time in so long, when for so long everything around me seemed grim and sad and full of despair. And suddenly there was this blooming dogwood tree, and I could see how beautiful it was. And then the rest of the day felt like that. Like I could see my life for what it was, the joys, the pleasures of my family, of my loving husband, my children, who I'd been so, like, you know, depression clouds your view of the world. And that gave me clarity. And it was really amazing. I mean, I am not exaggerating when I say that I believe that the microdosing saved my life. But then, of course, I don't know that what I experienced wasn't just the mother of all placebo effects, because, of course, nobody has studied microdosing. We do have research on LSD and psilocybin that seems to indicate that they're both very helpful in treating depression. Psilocybin is the ingredient in magic mushrooms. So we know that psychedelic drugs can be useful in treating depression. But because no one studied microdosing, we don't know whether what I experienced was a placebo effect. But I'm just so grateful for whatever it was, because I don't know what would have happened if I hadn't had that month.
And eventually, you know, the month was up, your little bottle of LSD
right.
ran out. And having gone through this experience, just briefly as we wrap up, Ayala, what is your take on the stance that we as a society take toward hallucinogens like LSD or even other substances like marijuana?
Well, I think we are hypocrites as a society. So many people take antidepressants. So many people medicate with alcohol. You know, it makes no sense to criminalize certain drugs and not criminalize others, because we're not criminalizing necessarily the drugs that are the most dangerous. I mean, when I was evaluating my medicine cabinet to see what could kill me the fastest, the most toxic substance in my medicine cabinet is Tylenol. Because an overdose of Tylenol will kill you faster than an overdose of anything else I had in there, because it's so liver toxic. So I think research is our friend. And I believe in a science-based approach to things like drugs, to all things, really. And I think we should be encouraging research into marijuana, encouraging research into psychedelic drugs, to see if there are any medicinal and therapeutic if they have medicinal and therapeutic value. If we could not, you know, the idea that there are people in pain who are not getting potential remedies breaks my heart. You know, at every event that I do, I have a bunch of people who come up to me and they say, I microdose, and they very loudly and proudly tell me about microdosing with LSD, with psilocybin. And then I have another group of people who come up to me and pull me aside and confess with shame and despair that they are depressed or they're anxious or they're bipolar. And the idea that we live in a society where you have to be more ashamed of being mentally ill than you have to be about using an illegal drug breaks my heart. And I, you know, this book doesn't say use illegal drugs. This book says let's do the research. Let's study these different chemicals. Let's see if we can get any benefit from them. And let's have a saner approach to drugs and drug policy, so that we aren't incarcerating millions of people, but rather we're thinking about what are the public health consequences of various substances.
Ayala, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure, and I hope you guys raise a bundle during your pledge week.
Thanks a lot. Well, that was Ayelet Waldman, novelist and memoirist, and she's the author of the new memoir, A Really Good Day, How Microdosing Made a Mega Difference in My Mood, My Marriage, and My Life.